your prayerful attention to the message that he is going to bring tonight. Feels of the Lord to do so. Our brother and elder Gordon McKinn.
Thank you, Brother Joel. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. I have a lot of joy in my heart right now, and I hope I can express it to you tonight, okay? I hope that I can, what I feel in my heart, the Spirit will carry to your heart. You know, there's been a lot of sermons that have to do with personal righteousness, and for us to focus on those things, and rightly so. But there's another aspect of it is, well, what's the benefit, okay? What do we, you know, when we are walking in God, and we're endeavoring to serve Him, what's the benefit? What are we looking towards and for? And what's going on in the world? You know, how can I, where am I going to get that comfort? You know, I believe that a lot of comfort and peace that is in the hearts of the children of men, when it is there, it comes by way of the Spirit of God, but it comes by knowledge. You're not ignorant. And the Lord was very plain in that when he spoke to his disciples. You know, I'll call you friends, and I'm not going to leave you in ignorance. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen because I am your friend. And just like our brother spoke of this morning, out of love, he did that for those who had a desire to follow him. I would like to begin in Isaiah, in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. Here, the 52nd and 53rd and 54th and 55th chapters, there's a lot of good stuff there. And I like to, you know, my heart just wells up when I read some of these things in here, because it has a lot to do with the day that we live in and the hour that God is causing different things to occur in the lives of the children of men, especially concerning Israel. I would like to drop down to verse 7, and it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You know, I imagine in my heart when Brian, when he went to India this last time, and those individuals who were baptized, and I can imagine in their heart that they were singing this praise, this very praise. In the middle of paganism, God reached out, touched their hearts, and they applied the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they feel this towards the body of Christ. Because they reached out and brought that good tidings and published that peace and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Zion. "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God." Now, that last verse of Scripture, "the Lord hath made bare his holy arms in the eyes of all the nations," that's written in the past tense. Even though it's a prophecy of the future, it's written in the past tense, isn't it? You know, he made bare his holy arms. And some of the stuff I'm going to talk with you tonight about is the precursor to this. What does he mean by making his arms bare before all the nations? You know, what is that implying? How should I treat that? What should it do for me? How should I feel in my heart concerning that? And that, it's very important. You know, I think about our Sunday school classes and about Israel and the Lord, you know, miraculously through his power and authority brought the house of Israel out of Egypt, you know, with a mighty hand, and he did it all himself. And he brought them to this land, right to the very edge, and he says, all right, here it is. This is what I brought you out of that place. I have this for you. And how was it received? Out of all the spies, only two had any comfort level at all in their heart that's what the Lord was giving them. They approached it with fear, misgivings, you know, whatever it was, and it totally disappointed God. Now, when these things that I'm talking about, we read about here in the Scriptures in our day, and when the Lord is going, He's doing the same thing with us, you know. He is preparing our hearts and minds for what is going to take place, where He makes His arms bare. He reveals His plan to the children of man. Now, when that day comes, when that plan is there, how are we going to react? Are we going to be like Israel when that's there? Are we going to enter? Is our mind set? Do we have a firm heart like Joshua? Okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm going. You know? I'm ready for it. Let's do it. You know, I may not understand the full magnitude of it, but I'm here. I know you sent me. I'm going. And I get tonight, I hope that some of the things that I bring to you tonight, that'll still some of those things and awaken you and bring that excitement in your heart and your mind like it has for me. You know, it brings tears to my eyes when I read some of these things because I can taste it. It is there. It is close. But there's some hard times ahead of us, you know. But it's there. Was it important a long time ago? Yes, it was. These things have been taught for a long time. Let's go over to 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter. It was very important to Nephi and those who they had the plates of brass that they wanted to make sure that they had an understanding of those things that we read in Isaiah, and that it was firmly implanted in the minds of their children so that when the time come that they would readily accept it. You remember they made that statement time and time and time again. We teach and preach Jesus Christ, but we follow the law of Moses because it wasn't fulfilled yet. But we do this so that when Christ does come, they will accept Him. And so we as ministry, body of ministry, we have that same obligation, is to be able to instill those things in your minds and hearts so that when the day comes, you will be ready and accepting with full heart, with the full amount of your faith that is there within your heart. In 1 Nephi, in the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 25, it says, and I would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations. Now, he's referring to these writings that he had in the plates of brass, and he was teaching his people what they meant. Now, that was a whole long time ago. You know, that was almost 600 years before Christ, and then you tack on 2,000 and some years there, so that's been a long time ago. And he was teaching those things. And yet it's just in our day we're starting to see more fully realizing more fully the things that Isaiah had prophesied are coming forth, you know. And yet they were teaching those things very early, and there was a wise purpose behind it, but we'll talk a little bit about that later on as well. It says, wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior, their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. Now, does Israel, do they have that belief that that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Savior? No, they don't. So there's our task, right? There's our task. That's like crossing the Jordan to go in there and take the land. That's no different. That is what we have to do today. Why? Because we have this record now, this added witness with its promise that it is to go to all the nations of the earth. And it's going to be taught as a witness. And then the end shall come. That's what Matthew says. Matthew, the 24th chapter, what, 14th verse? Something like that. You know, there's our task ahead of us. It's a pretty big task, isn't it? I mean, we're just getting started. Bringing about his covenants and his gospel and those who are of the house of Israel, they're going to have to hear the words of Christ. They're going to have to understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They're going to have to be able to apply it to their life. And then we find that, let's go to 2 Nephi in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is what's going to have to happen here. The first three verses, it says, "Now it came to pass that I, Nephi, did teach my brethren these things. And it came to pass that I did read many things to them, which were engraven upon the plates of brass, that they might know concerning the doings of the Lord in other lands among all people of old." And am I reading the right one? I think I am. No, I'm not. Forgive me. It's the second chapter. Second Nephi, the sixth chapter. Let's move over there into the right one. Verses 1 through 3. That's on page 105. Let me start over. First verse. "And now, my beloved brethren, I have read these things that you might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that he has covenanted with all the house of Israel, that he has spoken unto the Jews by the mouth of his holy prophets, even from the beginning down from generation to generation, until the time comes that they shall be restored to" what? "The true church and fold of God." Well, what's the true church and fold of God? Is that what you belong to? So are you prepared, you know, when for this task? You know, when we're given opportunity with those that we know that are of the Jewish faith, to help them to understand that maybe they're not part of the true church of God right yet, and the reasons for it? "When they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance and shall be established in all their lands of promise." Some of those things that we're talking about in Sunday school. It's a big task. It really is. But it is nothing that God hasn't said that he's given you the power and authority to do, not to do. In fact, it's a commandment that we are to do it in these last days. In 1 Nephi, in the fourth chapter, it says in the 19th verse, "Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved." What do you think they're doing now? You know, I know you've heard this. They're waiting for this ultimate sacrifice, that they would be able to build the temple and have this pure sacrifice to offer to their God. That's where they're at. They've got a long ways to go. To this, the very points of the doctrine. Is it any more bigger of a task than when they were standing there and they were looking down in that valley and they went down there as spies and they saw that it was well populated and there was these pretty big guys running around down there and they had good cities and they looked pretty strong and tough and, you know, formidable, you know, they were. And it would be no different. But I hope and pray that we can look within our heart and know that God has given us the commission. He's given us the tools, and part of those tools is the Spirit with power and authority to turn the hearts and to work miracles and to perform those things that God has given us the commission to do. And your expectation should be no less than that. In 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter, here he says, it's on page, let's see here, I'll make sure I get in the right chapter here. It's on page 159. It is the 12th chapter of the 2 Nephi. Here in verse 87 through 89, he says, "And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations." Does that leave out anybody? You know, it doesn't leave out anybody. "Kindreds, tongues, and people," to do what? "To bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth." We have no idea where they're at. The house of Israel, they were scattered to the four winds of the earth. "And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with" what? "The rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people. And the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire." That's pretty serious. It's going to be kind of confrontational, even though you're not trying to. But it's going to be because of the word's sake. "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." That's the task. That should be our focus in our tithe, in our devotions, in our prayers, that the gospel would go forth and that we would be able to do it according to the will and the desires of our God. So Nephi talked about how the Lord was going to make bare his arms before all the world as a witness. Let's go and see what Abinadi said about it. Let's go to Mosiah in the 7th chapter. Here in the 7th chapter, he quotes Isaiah the 52nd through 7 through 10. And he actually, it was those of King Noah and the wicked priests had asked him the question about those particular verses of Scripture, and he had some comment to made to him. He said, "72. It says the king commanded that he should be brought, that would be Abinadi, before them, and they began to question him, and they that they might cross him, that thereby they might have wherewith to accuse him. But he answered them boldly and withstood all their questions, yea, to their astonishment. For he did withstand them in all their questions and did confound them in all their words. And it came to pass that one of them said unto them, 'What meaneth the words which are written and which have been taught by our fathers, saying?'" And that was "how beautiful upon the mountains." And that was that very thing in the book of Isaiah. So here they are, they're asking him this question. And Abinadi said, and in verse 81 he goes, "And now Abinadi said unto them, 'Are you priests?'" You know, "Are you priests? And pretend to teach this people and to understand the spirit of prophesying, and yet desire to know of me what these things mean?" We should be in that position that when someone asks us a question concerning the gospel and the doctrine and the particular points of the gospel, that we should be able to, you know, be as direct. Okay, you say you believe in the Bible. Okay, well, this is what it says. Do you believe that? You know, to your point this morning, you know, dealing with communicating to people about the promises of God to the house of Israel concerning this land and the land of Israel, and helping them to understand those things, there's going to be some very pointed conversations with people. But you can take it to the point where you can show them things that are that have occurred already, that you can point to current history, current events. What do you think is going on over there? Do you understand what's going on over there in Israel right now? What's happening? You know, a lot of them will say no. And you'll say, well, I'll tell you what's going on over there. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. And the Lord will prove your words true just by the events that'll happen. You can trust on those things that God has caused to be written, those things that are coming upon the earth. You can trust on those things. Abinadi's answer, it can be found over in the 8th chapter. And there's some very good reading through here, because you find that he links a lot of things, especially the coming forth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what he's going to mean to them. And that's the whole point of how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. But anyhow, over here in the 8th chapter of Mosiah, he talks to him in the 16th verse. He says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" He poses that question. And then he quotes, and this is actually a quote from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah 1 through 12. And so he uses the word of God to answer them. How convenient. We can do the same. And then he goes on down to the 39th verse, and he says, "And behold, I say unto you, that when his soul has been made an offering for sin," and that's speaking of Christ, "he shall see his seed. And now what say ye, and who shall be his seed?" So who's going to be a part of him? "Behold, I say unto you that whosoever has heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets who have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed," or they are heirs of the kingdom of God. "For these are they whose sins he has borne, these are they who for whom he has died to redeem them from their transgressions. And now are they not his seed?" What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful thing to understand and to come to that understanding. What peace that it should bring to your heart and your minds when you've applied those things. The blood of Christ in your life, according to the doctrine of Christ, and to be numbered, to be an heir to the kingdom of God. You are part of that kingdom. Those of you that have entered into the waters of baptism, you are of his seed. And then if you notice, right down there in the 48th verse, "And oh, how beautiful upon the mountains were their feet." Speaking of those who, I should back up, 46th verse, "Yea, and are not the prophets, every one that has opened his mouth to prophesy, that has not fallen into transgression?" I mean, all the holy prophets ever since the world began. "I say unto you that they are his seed, and these are they who have published peace, who have brought good tidings of good, who have published salvation, and said unto Zion, thy God reigneth." And how beautiful upon the mountains were their feet, the words that they brought. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. So when Brian or Jay or any of us have an opportunity to go to these distant lands and bring that gospel to them, they look, their faith, they look to that. And it's confirmed by the Spirit within their hearts. And it's joyous to them. And they rejoice. "And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace, yea, from this time, henceforth, and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace. And who was that? Jesus Christ. Okay. He put some meat behind the text that was given in Isaiah. And you can see it here. And there's a lot of good reading in here that puts that together for us. Understanding of the words of Isaiah. And I suggest if you have opportunity that you can read some of those things in your private time, because it's very good. So, was he the only one that talked about that or preached on that? No, let's go over to 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter. Let's go over there and see what's going on in those verses of Scripture. Here in the 7th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, we find Jesus is teaching at the time. And he's going to be talking about some of these things. Verse 27, "And I command you that ye shall write these things after I have gone, that if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, they who have seen me and have been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name, that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, and also of the other tribes whom they know not of," which they didn't do, so they weren't aware of it, it's not recorded, "that these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, that through the fullness of the Gentiles the remnant of their seed, who shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth because of their unbelief, may be brought in or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. And then will I gather them in from the four quarters of the earth, and then will I fulfill the covenant which the Father hath made unto all the people of the house of Israel." And how beautiful that is, that plan. And the power of God that created it. And the love of God that extended to the not only just to the children of the house of Israel, but to all nations. It says that we're to preach this unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, which fulfills the will of God. So, now where does this bring us? Well, we can go to verse 34, because there's going to be some change that's going to occur in this thinking process, especially for the Gentiles. And we are entering that period here in the United States. Here in the 34th verse it says, "And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and of deceits and of mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisies and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and of secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of the gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them, and then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel. I will bring my gospel unto them." Now this is going to be the hard thing for you, okay? Now, didn't I just read scriptures that said that you are the seed of Christ? Right? You're heirs to the kingdom of God, right? All right, you're no longer Gentile. These words here has nothing to do with you. And you need to plant that in your heart right now, if it's not there. You take it and you plant it there. Because if you do not put that in your heart, the days that are going to come, you're going to get very, very distressed. Because things are going to occur in this United States, in this hemisphere, and it's going to be nasty. But you are not part of it. Because the promises to his seed is what? What are the promises to his seed? They're going to be protected. Right? They're going to be cared for like sheep in a stall. So you take those words dealing with the Gentiles, unless you're sinning and you don't want to be a part of it, and you cast it out. You take it out of your heart. You're no longer part of the Gentile nation. You're not. You're the seed of Jesus Christ, and wear it with dignity and honor and with faith as Joshua carried that promise of Abraham in his heart when he went into the land of promise, because it was carried from Abraham down to him. Right? And so it is with us. That promise is now to us. To your little ones, your babies. You teach them that they're going to become a child of God, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Jesus Christ, the true church of God on earth, here for a purpose. And it's very important for you to have that change in your heart, because you're going to need it. You're going to have to rely on it. To say very confidently, I'm a child of God, the seed of Jesus Christ, an adopted heir to the kingdom of God. I am no longer a Gentile. These things, yes, they are part of our world. They're all around us. But we know the gospel is going on where? To the remnant? To the remnant of the seed of Israel. So this time is really has come to pass, hasn't it? This has been fulfilled. The turning point has already occurred in God's timeline. So now we're in that part of time in verse 36. Then will I remember my covenant which I've made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. And that is what we are endeavoring to do today. And I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. And then it's in 38 verses. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. Once you're numbered with them. You're part of them. And I will not suffer my people, who are the house of Israel, to go through them, through among them, and tread them down. There's our promise. But if they will not turn unto me and hearken unto my voice, I will suffer them, yea, I will suffer my people, O house of Israel, that they shall go through among them and shall tread them down. And they shall be as salt that hath lost its savor, which is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of my people, O house of Israel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thus hath the Father commanded me that I should give unto you, unto this people, this land for their inheritance. And he was speaking of the Americas. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which say, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice, together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Where was that? The 52nd chapter of Isaiah. Okay. The Lord, what has He done? He has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. We're going to see those things transpire, and we're seeing them today. We saw them when Israel took over control of Jerusalem. You know, we saw it. We saw it when the gospel of Jesus Christ and this work of the gospel went down to our brothers and sisters in Yucatan. We saw it. We know of it. He was making bare His arm at that time, that turning point, that timeline that God has. Let's go over to the ninth chapter of the third book of Nephi. Here it's on page 658, it's verse 46. He says, and it came to pass that when they had all given glory unto Jesus, he said unto them, behold, now I finish the commandment which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people who are the remnant of the house of Israel. Yea, remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, Behold, they are written. Ye have them before you. Therefore, search them. So, we studied Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Are they fulfilled? 29th chapter of Isaiah. Have they been fulfilled? Yes. Yes. It has everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last days coming forth. This record, the 29th chapter of Isaiah. Okay? And we know it, as Brother Glenn has taught, a lot of the world doesn't, they don't know what to do with the 29th chapter because it's kind of like an enigma. It's something odd. It doesn't fit. Man, I can't get it in there, you know? It doesn't make sense to them. But I pray that it makes sense to you and that you're comfortable with it and that you are able to articulate it to others by the power of your faith and the Spirit that would be with you in that. And verily, verily, I say unto you that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. And then shall the remnants, which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, be gathered in from the east and from the west and from the south and from the north. And they shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who hath redeemed them. And the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance. Why? So they could be gathered. Some place to go, right? He's not going to just be gathering them and go, oh, they're in a holding tank. They're going to go back to the lands that God gave them. And I say unto you that if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessings which they shall receive after they have scattered my people, then shall ye, who are the remnant of the house of Jacob, go forth among them. And ye shall be in the midst of them, who shall be many. And ye shall be among them as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he goeth through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Well, guess what? We've got a border problem, don't we? And everybody's in a big dither about this border problem that we have. No one can explain it. All of a sudden, we have over 12 million people inside our borders that are not legal. And estimates are that that can grow pretty fast. Remember, that's less than 5% of our population right now. But there's estimates that within a few years, that could triple or quadruple. Now, is that the hand of God? Is he making bare his arm before the nations and our nation, saying, you guys rejected me, my prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Now, do you want to be a Gentile now? Do you want to cling to that pride? I hope not. Because once they come through, it's not going to be pleasant. You know, it's not going to be resolved. The only way that they're going to resolve it, and I haven't heard it from any of our leaders, to get on our knees and pray for forgiveness. That God would forgive us as a nation and turn away from our pride and our rejection of those things that God has told us that we are to follow. Here in the 53rd verse, it says, thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies, what? Shall be cut off. And I will gather my people together as a man gathereth his sheaves into the floor, for I will make my people with whom the Father hath covenant. Yea, I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy host brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And behold, I am he who doeth it. And it shall come to pass that the Father, saith the Father, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them at that day. And except they repent, it shall fall upon them, saith the Father, even upon all of the nations of the Gentiles. And it shall come to pass that I will establish my people, O house of Israel. And behold, this people will I establish in this land unto the fulfilling of the covenant which I made with your father Jacob, and it shall be a new Jerusalem. and the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. That's the promise to us. The power of God will be in the midst of us. And Jesus Christ says, and I will be in your midst. No different than when he was in the midst of Israel in the wilderness, and as he promised he would go before them into the new lands that he had given them. No different. God's the same. The same power and the same authority. It's all there for us. But we have to have faith and to rely and to apply that. Now, you know, in verse 60, it says, "Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake." Now, this is the Lord speaking to Israel specifically, because Israel must come to Christ, saying, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people." That means anybody and everybody. If he's of the house of Israel and he rejects it, he's no different than a lonely Gentile. They're all treated the same. "Verily I say unto you, yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have testified of me. And behold, ye are the children of the prophets, and ye are the house of Israel, and ye are the covenant which the Father made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And the Father, having raised me up unto you first, and sent me to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity, and this because ye are the children of the covenant. And after that ye were blessed, then fulfill the Father the covenant which he made with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land." And that goes to your statement about how we got here. And why? We know that the fullness of the gospel has to be preached. We are told we have that fullness. And we have that fullness of the gospel. It's so that we might bring those things to the house of Israel and to all the world, that the promises of God might fall upon them. There are signs that we can look for. Let's drop down here to verse 84. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall surely come, even the Father hath commanded me. Then shall this covenant which the Father hath covenanted with his people be fulfilled, and then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again with my people." Has that taken place? All right, so we can put that in the fulfilled column of our studies. "And it shall be the land of their inheritance. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place. Then I shall gather in from the long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. And behold, this is the thing which I will give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you, that when these things which I declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles," which that is also occurred, "that they may know concerning this people who are the remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this people who shall be scattered by them. Verily I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father, from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land, and be set up as a free people by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto the remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity, for thus it behooveth the Father that he come forth from the Gentiles, that he may show his power unto the Gentiles, for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know of the true points of the doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. When these things come, this is that sign that the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people who are the house of Israel. Now, those things we know have already taken place. Now, what hasn't taken place? What should we be looking for? What are some of the other things besides bringing the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and the conversion there, and the gathering of Israel? Well, there was some sealed records that were spoken of. And you can find it in Second Nephi in the 11th chapter. Those sealed records, Joseph Smith had possession of them, but he was told, you're not going to write about these. They're going to come forth later. And so in the 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter, you can see he says that they're going to come forth in a wise purpose in the Father. This is page 151. He says, "Touch not the things which are sealed, for I will bring them forth in mine own due time. For I will shew unto the children of men that I am able to do mine own work. Wherefore, when thou hast read the words which I have commanded thee, and obtained the witness which I have promised unto thee, then shalt thou seal up the book again and hide it up unto me, that I may preserve the words which thou hast not read, until I shall see fit in mine own wisdom to reveal all things unto the children of men. For behold, I am God, I am a God of miracles, and I will shew unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith." So there are sealed records of things that occurred from the beginning all the way to the end that are to come forth in God's due time. That is to come forth. We can look for that to happen. Second Nephi in the 2nd chapter, there's one who is going to be mighty, who is going to be raised up. And he's going to do a mighty work. That's 2 Nephi, the second chapter, and you can find it on page 90. It says, "And there shall raise up one mighty among them," meaning among Manasseh, "who shall do much good both in what? Word and in deed, being an instrument in the hands of God with exceeding faith, to work mighty wonders and to do that thing which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel, unto the seed of thy brethren." So we are going to have some help here. We're going to have one who is going to be raised up, one mighty among them, of the seed of Manasseh, that is going to join our ranks and help us in that work that God has given us. One of the more familiar ones you can find back in 3 Nephi in the 10th chapter. And that is eventually those who are, it says here in the 10th chapter, the third book of Nephi, says, speaking of the Gentiles, "If they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in under the covenant," which we believe has already occurred, "and be numbered among this remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many as the house of Israel shall come, and they shall build a city, which shall be called the New Jerusalem." That's in our future as well. It has not come. But that's something we can look forward to. There's others. I haven't read them all. Those are some biggies that are in the Scripture that you can find that we can look forward to that God will bring forth at some point in time. But I guess the main thrust tonight, oops, I shouldn't have closed this, because there is one verse of Scripture I wanted to read to you. in the prophecies of Isaiah. Actually, there's two things. I want you to be familiar with the 54th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to read it on your own time, but I want you to be familiar with it. Where the Lord is speaking here, it says, and he's speaking to Israel specifically, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as the woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I have hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Speaking of Israel. That's how much God loves Israel. And those who fight against him, may God have mercy on his soul. What I want to leave with you is the first few verses of the 52nd chapter. And it's a call, and it's what I feel tonight. It says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion." You are part of Zion. "Put on thy beautiful garments." That's that righteousness that the others before me have been talking about. And have asking you to look within your heart and your mind and to work out your salvation in fear. "O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall be no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt, and sojourned there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name." And they'll know it because we used the gospel and we spoke it and taught it. "Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I." May God bless you in the work of Zion.